Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello and welcome to the Ultimatum Rehap Up. I'm Asia and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Mary. Mary, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing so much better now that we have some resolution to all of these couples. This was a wild ride through the 10 episodes we got and the three podcasts we've now done. I feel like I have lived and breathed the ultimatum for the last 7 days, which is pretty accurate because that's pretty much how fast it took for me to watch them. But wow, we've got a lot to talk about. Some highs, some lows, a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
Were you surprised? I was surprised.
I was surprised by a lot of things. The fact that we've recorded these within a week time span is just so much content. I was very surprised by a lot of things. Cause I was trying to think back to like what I had predicted or like what we had talked about. But then I was like, I can't remember if I predicted this person's going to stay together or not. But yeah, no, they just continued the trend of just going off script and doing whatever they wanted. It was entertaining to say the least.
If you want to be on a reality TV show and not care about the rules, this is the show for you because they'll let you do whatever. Like, whatever. You know, we watch a lot of these other shows and sometimes we debate on Survivor and stuff like, oh, would Jeff Probst let them, you know, pretend to have an idol or something? And it's like, sometimes if it makes the best TV, but sometimes they stick really rigidly with the rules. Not on this show. Whole format out the window.
They're like, the contestants are like, what is a rule?
Yes.
It's a concept I don't know.
And like, when you go on, you know, I keep going back to this, but dating reality shows, you're going to think of The Bachelor. When you go on The Bachelor, you take the time off and go on it. But with a lot of the Netflix shows, and I'm pretty sure Love is Blind worked the same way for the portion, at least when they're sort of like back in their hometown. A lot of these people, I think, continue, like they go to work. They go to work, they come home, they see their friends, they have their phones. You're really not unplugged in the way that most people are, which in ways I like. Now, we'll talk about the BuzzFeed article later. Right. In ways I like this because it does kind of give them a little bit more of like a realistic approach, right? Yeah. It's not like we're not going to keep you completely in a happy bubble. We'll also throw real life at you. So you have to live with this person while you're working, while you're doing other things.
Right. I will say that this finale and reunion gave what it was supposed to give because I was very excited for it. And I may or may not have woken up extra early today to make sure that I could fit in both before I started work. Because believe it or not, our full time job is not podcasting about the ultimatum.
Although you could, this would be the week to argue separately, since I think I've put in, I don't know, I'm going to say that I've put in roughly at least 20 or 30 hours, at least a part-time job's worth of watching TV, podcasting, and editing podcasts.
I know.
I mean, I got 10 hours just of the ultimatum watching.
Yes, literally.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, we're here because we love it. And I thoroughly, just before we get into the nitty gritty, I enjoyed the season as a whole. It surprised me in a lot of ways. And I love that. I mean, it's over now, you know, like it consumed our world for like a week. And then now that's a wrap. So how'd you feel about it overall?
Overall, I thought it was very unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way I felt about Love is Blind. When I heard about that show, I remember rolling my eyes at it. And I remember during the beginning of the pandemic, going into my sister's room, sitting on the bed with her, and we were partway through episode 2 or 3 of the first season of Love is Blind. And I was like surprisingly hooked.
Yeah.
And because I don't normally like dating shows. And so the ultimatum, it scratched that same itch of these are real people being so ridiculous with their dating. Like I love shows where I feel like I get to talk about and think about all of this like dating advice while being completely removed from the drama myself. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mentioned it with Love is Blind. I'll say it again. A lot of the drama felt very real and just like dating drama, and less so like manufactured drama. The circumstances were somewhat manufactured, but this cast really just did whatever they wanted. So I don't think you can even really say that it's too much up to the producers. Like the most producer influenced moments were the ceremony where they had to pick partners, and then the ceremony where they switched back to their original partners, and the reunion. And other than that, they were kind of left to their own devices.
Yeah. So. I feel like they hit the jackpot with the couples they chose. And I, you know, even if it were just a different variety of people, let's say the two couples who got engaged and left early, if they were one of the other couples that ended up sticking around, we could have had a different result. Like they could have been really boring. We don't know. But I just feel like they hit gold on the couples that stayed there and the drama that unfolded.
I don't think it's been stated enough how lucky we got that those two couples left, because they, no offense. I'm sure they're great people. They did seem, well, I was going to say they seemed like the most boring couples, but then you have Alexis. So right. I would have been happy to see Alexis stay on, but at least we got Alexis back for the bridal shower, right. The bachelorette party or whatever it was. Yeah.
Right. And the reunion. She was trying to channel her inner Shake.
Yes, she really, really was. Really yeah. was.
So if we start with the finale. So they got Randall and Shanique in and out before they even showed the opening title. I was like, how did they do all of that before they showed us what show we were watching?
Yeah. So Ultimatum Day is the equivalent of like the weddings, right?
Yeah.
Now, first off, can I just say up front, I ranked all of these based on which like area they gave them. And I think it was a little bit telling when you looked at like the spots they gave them. So Randall and Shanique, they get like it's not really a gazebo, but it's like sort of an outdoor covered porch thingy by the water. And it's like beautiful. And cute. Now,
yes,
I was, and I think theirs was probably the nicest of all of the locations, maybe the second, depending on tied with another one. But
right.
I was pretty shocked because when they're speaking, they're both very emotional. They're both crying. I thought they both seemed like two people who cared about each other and were on the same page about breaking up. that's what I thought, just based on reading their facial expressions. I thought that's where that was going. But then and even some of the things he said, like he's like, you're my best friend. And in the love that you give me, I can't explain. And I was just waiting and waiting and waiting for the but.
But yeah.
But there was no but. So
there was no but. There was no I kind of read it a little bit differently with Shanique. I thought she wanted this so bad, but had come to the conclusion that it was her fault. She had messed up. She brought him into this.
Yes.
Or as Jake would say, she dragged him there. and I felt like she was thinking like, yes, I love him, but there's no way we're going to stay together after going through all this. But I was shocked. I don't know what it was that we didn't see about, I guess maybe we didn't see Randall's feelings about Shanique. Like we knew very well like why Shanique felt so strongly about Randall. But I think a lot of the things we saw from Randall's perspective was his interest in Madeline and then just his issues with the the things that he would like changed about Shanique, but not all of the positive qualities that he loves about her. And so it did come as a surprise that he proposed. But then, like, once he proposed, it was just like, I was like, oh, you know, maybe he was on the same page as her and they just couldn't get there because of the beginning reasons.
Yeah, he says coming into it, he thought that this would be the stupidest thing they've ever done for their relationship. He thought it would just add more drama. But going through it, he realized that he feels even more strongly for her. Mm-hmm. And if I were to compare them to some people from Love is Blind season 2, I would say they remind me the most of Nick and Danielle in that we saw a lot of arguing. And I think they both, they're going to say it sort of at the reunion, but basically that they felt like they needed to really push themselves during this. And they got in a lot of arguments and had poor communication because they were trying so hard to find out all of those things that would lead them to make this decision. And, Shanique says at the end, like, this was, she thought this experience would be about Randall getting his ish together, but really it was about her learning. And I have a lot more to say with them about, from the reunion when we get to it. But I think that they just really came across as like a couple who, like you said, like they were showing us the drama and we weren't really seeing any of the love, especially from his side. And they are the ones who I wrote down that their core issue was finances, according to him. And I think a lot of it was more just sort of, I think he was using finances as an excuse, but not necessarily as an excuse for, like, I think we read it as, oh, that's just an excuse because he doesn't really like her and doesn't want to be with her. And I think it was really just, it was an excuse because he wasn't sure if he was ready or not.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I thought, like, them coming first, it would be like, okay, they're going to start us out on a happy note. But then I was thinking, no, this is Randall and Shanique. Like, how's this going to work? But, you know, he proposed. She loved the ring. She said, I love this and I love you too. So she was very happy about the ring. And I thought it was a beautiful proposal. They said the next step is to get a tutu so she can have more room for her clothes. And so they ride off into the sunset.
There we go. And that's all we'll hear from them for the rest of this episode, pretty much.
They throw up the ultimatum sign of like, oh, that's a wrap. Yeah. It's like, how do we squeeze that in?
I guess at the end of the previous episode, we had gotten their like getting ready, but they were really, really editing it because they both seemed so nervous and like emotional that I really, really thought that this was going to be him saying that he was going to step away. But so happy for them. Yes. And now we have Jake and April, who from the second. Okay, well, let me not get ahead of myself. They're getting ready and she hopes they've changed and they can be the people that they both need, believes the show has made them stronger. He says this experience was a shit show, but he thinks everyone is glad they did it. He's just anxious to get it over with. That is not something you say when you're like about to propose. You know, he butts heads with her. I don't know. None of this is going particularly well. And I'd say the giveaway, the dead giveaway. They walk up. They don't even get placed in a cute area. They're sitting on a bench right by the road. Like, you can see the car. They pan twice to April, like, when she walks away. And, like, the car is, it's not even hiding around the corner. It's, like, tucked out of sight. But you can see the front of the car. It's so funny.
They're like, hey, we have two amazing setups, beautiful for pictures. Those are the only places we can use for proposals. So if you're not bringing a proposal to the table, look, we have a bench. We have a bench you could sit on, or we have a log. Your choice. So it's like, what? And it looks like they ran out of locations because Zay didn't even come. They didn't even they didn't even have a fourth option. So I was like, oh, that right there was a dead giveaway.
It was so funny. I mean, they could have put this anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I don't know where this was. I wrote farm question mark, winery question mark. I was like, I don't know what this building is.
Just the outskirts of Austin.
Just somewhere. So they sit at the bench and chat and, you know, talk about all the good times in their relationship. He says this show has put them through a lot. A horse interrupts them and they laugh about it. It's so interesting because like I've had my highs and lows with April. Yes. I did identify with her in that I've had a couple conversations that are sort of like, because I was in a relationship where, you know, you're in high school. It was like, you break up, you get back together, you break up, you get back together. There was a lot of that happening. And I remember at least a couple of the times when we would have the like breakup conversation, I feel like I was acting similar to April, where I was like, I'm trying to keep it in and not get upset. So I'm just kind of joke and do things like, you know, tuck your hair behind your ear or like laugh or, you know, make jokes. Right. Just like, and I felt like she was kind of doing that at some moments. So it was
like,
interesting.
If y'all are in this, like, I mean, he knows at this point it's a breakup conversation. She knows it's potentially a breakup conversation, but we're laughing at a horse neighing. It's like yeah. a dog barks.
Like, it's so silly.
Isn't that funny?
It seems like, attention. Yeah, like I thought best case scenario for them was they weren't, like, when even when he says, you know, he tried to push every bit of himself to be the person ready to marry her, but he couldn't get to that point. I felt like he might have followed that up with, but I want to continue dating you. Like, right. I thought that was where we were going. Okay. So he says he's not going to run off. He says, me and Ray are not going to run off together.
What?
Okay.
We did sure. get a well, we didn't get a tweet. Twitter got a tweet. I saw the tweet from our dear friend Sasha Joseph.
Yes. Who's
like, never trust men because you said you weren't gonna run off together. And that's literally what you wanted to do.
Yeah, it seems like what you wanted to do. I don't know. This was the weirdest move. She's like, goodbye. I guess they break up. I don't know. She walks away and she's like, you know, I wish it could have turned out differently, but I'm excited for the future. I am so confused by April. Like, everything about her is confusing. She, like, seems to fully admit that she basically just wants to be married, wants to have kids and stuff, but, and, like, doesn't really care who, I mean, not, like, doesn't care who it's with. Like, clearly she didn't want to be with, but she didn't want to be with Colby.
True.
She has some standards.
Yeah, it's weird because she, her saying that leading up before we even knew his decision, saying like, I want to be a wife, whether that's to him or not, I want to be a wife. I was like, well, I mean, it's funny because you're the one who gave the ultimatum. So you would think in this position, you want him, and it would be him making the decision. And in turn, it seems like she's trying to make the decision. But I mean, I think as a result of this whole conversation, we just know April wants to be married. We know from the season, April wants little Aprils. And so it turns out it's just not with Jake, whether that was her choice or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I learned a lot from the BuzzFeed article.
Yes. So. Like, yeah. I guess, okay.
I guess we can talk about
a couple of things.
Yeah, we can sprinkle it through. I mean, I feel like, so there's a lot of talk in the BuzzFeed article about maybe April just wanting to be here for fame. Maybe like it seems a lot like Jake's issue also was that he was fully prepared to propose to her and get engaged with her before coming on the show, and actually had to cancel the trip that he was planning on proposing to her on a cruise because she wanted to do the show so badly. And that's why he keeps talking about getting dragged on the show. He didn't want to do it, et cetera, et cetera. And that also does explain some of maybe why she was so upset about the Ray situation, because she was like, if maybe they went on sort of knowing that like they were probably going to leave together, but then it almost makes it more confusing of why she seems kind of okay with this outcome.
Exactly. I'm like, if y'all had this romantic getaway planned, and if he was totally okay with it, how on earth are you choosing a show over this romantic getaway together? It's not like a situation where, oh, he's continuing to lead me on. If they had looked at rings, I don't know if every couple thinks of that or talks about like the potential of rings and what do you want and what are you looking for? But for him to find out in a BuzzFeed article that he was going to propose on the cruise, but she wanted to go on the show instead. I mean, obviously she didn't know he was going to propose, but that, I mean, that changes the whole course of their relationship.
I mean, okay. So my stance is, if he really wanted to propose to her, and she says, I'm going to go on this show. I think that that's the point where you say, look, I don't want to go on the show. And furthermore, I'd like to get engaged. And if she really wants an engagement, she would say, oh my gosh, yes. Okay, we're not going on the show. Let's do this.
Right.
So it does lend to maybe that idea, but like that he didn't do it. He didn't, you know, he didn't ask her. It doesn't seem like he laid it out there. So I don't know.
There were a couple other things that she chose social media over him. And then that he almost didn't go on the show the night before because he was just having anxiety about the fact that he was about to be on a TV show. And with that comes some, you know, Netflix level fame from reality TV.
Notoriety at the least. Yes.
And so I don't know. There's just a lot of back and forth. If y'all haven't checked it out, it's titled 40 Wild, The Ultimatum, Behind the Scenes. Facts that explain how the show really works. And it's like 40 things that really opened our eyes to a few things across some of these couples.
Yeah, that was one of the biggest ones, was the fact that he was preparing to propose to her. I think he was also the one who said that they didn't even know when they were coming on the show that that an ultimatum was part of it. Like, I don't even know if the show had its title. I mean, I guess it did eventually, but that they thought it was a dating show where you would sort of break up with your person, go live with someone else, and then come back together. Mm-hmm. And that they didn't know. So I guess, like, at some point at the end of the casting process, they ask each couple to, like, have an ultimatum and it be sort of one-sided. I don't know. Right. It was interesting.
Yeah, so, that is very interesting, especially because it becomes so a part of their language. Like, they're constantly saying, I'm the one that gave him the ultimatum.
Yeah.
So that may be one of the produced parts, but there's so much other drama that is real that makes up for it.
Yes. So speaking of other drama, this is the one where I wrote, they get the worst spot. They just have to stand by a random tree. They're like in the middle of the woods. Like, what is that?
It's literally like the path to one of the other places they got. They're like, look, funds are tight. The best we can do, you want to go next to the tree or you want to go in the walkway? Pick one.
This is Ultimatum season one. Like, we're new. We don't know.
Right. I'm surprised one of the locations wasn't one of the cars they pull up in. Like, someone walks in and just gets in. That could have been nice. No, not really. But I thought it was funny that they had painted this as if Ray interrupted in the previews. But I'm glad they did it the way they did, where him and April broke up. And now it's like Jake and Ray, because he's like, I still have a very important decision to make. And like, you know, they're talking about, you know, how they feel about each other. He said, like, she's opened his eyes to the type of person that he could be with and someone who get put in the same amount of effort he puts in. And he catches her up like, hey, I broke up with April. That's it. And so he says, like, she deserves the world, and he hopes someday he can give that to her. And at this point, I wasn't quite sure which direction he was going to go. I thought it was going to be like, I'm proposing to you, and then let's kind of ride this out for a little bit and before we actually get married. I did not expect what he did.
So he pulls out an envelope with, my guess, nothing in it.
Nothing, because no one's buying two tickets to anywhere you want to go.
That's not a thing. So he's like, yeah, I propose to you that we take a trip anywhere. Spoilers, they don't take a trip. And spoilers also, look, this is the equivalent to saying, like, it's the equivalent to talking to someone and being like, oh my gosh, it's going to be so cute when we have kids. But then like, not actually having kids. Like, this is all talk and no action. It doesn't mean anything to say that you will buy tickets to go somewhere and then not actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing. You have words and nothing more, my friend.
And an empty envelope.
He's like,
this is what I have right here. And, you know, the fact that he told April, me and Ray aren't just going to run off together. The empty envelope in your suit pocket says otherwise.
I'm sorry. They were going to fly off together, so it's different.
You're right. You got to hang on to every word.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
No, that is legit the kind of argument guys make. I never said I was going to fly off with her. I said I wasn't going to run off with her.
It's so funny. But I do think that this is the outcome the show wanted, right? Like, yes, they were hoping that at least one of these couples would at least have enough interest to potentially get together. And I don't think there was ever anything in the explanation of the show format that said, like, if you choose one of the new people, you have to propose to them. Like, I think the concept was just you might leave the show with them. Like, you might pick them instead. And so Jake and Ray, you know, I think we all were rooting for them. For a while, at least. Yeah. So I was rooting for them. I mean, I was rooting for them and April just as a character. So.
I was just glad, you know, if we had to have one couple that tried to make it work, I'm glad it was them of like who didn't come there together.
Okay. So like, I know we don't have video. Both of us just put our hands on our forehead and like leaned over getting ready to talk about this. Heavy sigh.
The surprise after surprise after surprise. Like the amount of we are going to do our own thing that happened in this segment just blew my mind. I was like, is this happening?
What was this? Oh my gosh. So apparently, to catch everyone up, after the breakup dinner that Madeline and Colby had, where she left and was like, I'm done, I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. Let's just say, apparently some people, Ray, when they say that they're breaking up, it means something. And then for other people, it means absolutely nothing. It means I'm leaving this restaurant and we'll go talk back at home.
I will see you later. I'm done.
I'm done with my food. You handle the check. Right. I'm done. Chicken was great. See you back at the apartment.
It felt so final.
Rooting for her. Yes.
He casually says, yeah, I went, you know, I owned up to my actions. We talked. What? How? How was the door open for that? Like, that shows me they do this all the time.
Yes.
Because if this was a first time occurrence, he would be thinking like, man, is it over? Like, have I lost the woman of my dreams forever? He's no, just Madeline being Madeline.
But also, like, he said at the restaurant, he blamed her again. For the whole situation with him and the girl. And then apparently that later that night was just like, I owned up to everything. It's like, why did you couldn't? I'm really honestly surprised we didn't get any footage of this.
Right. Because we saw that in the BuzzFeed article, every room except for the bathroom had a camera in it. So I feel like that would have been useful to show, especially because the finale was, what was it, like 38 minutes?
Yeah, at least in a flashback or something, they could have like done it after this to not spoil it or something. But
yeah, they weren't on time constraints. I would have liked to see that, but no.
So he puts on his cowboy hat, to which I said, stop wearing the cowboy hat. You're not a cowboy. And Madeline rolls her eyes every time you wear it. This is not a move. Stop. He's ready to propose. Madeline's getting ready and she's like, yeah, last night didn't go great. But, you know, Colby's never wavered throughout this whole process. And I've wanted to run and I've wanted to stay and he's stayed the same. So maybe we'll have changed and maybe we'll stick together for the rest of our lives. I don't know. I do love her dress, though. I love this like floral.
Yeah, it looks good on her.
It looked very cute.
When they walked in, did it look like they were walking into a barn?
I couldn't figure out what this building was because it sort of looked like a barn. It looked like one of those big rooms that's like at a brewery. Like, I don't know how to describe it other than that, but it's like it had like a random blanket and then sort of an archway, but it was very windy in there. So like the whole front must have been open or something because they were blown by the wind, but it also looked like they were indoors. I don't know. So they're just like in a big room. This is probably the second nicest after the gazebo by the water.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're definitely in some type of wedding venue that many people have probably used this space for their wedding. But I couldn't handle this because he's talking about like she makes him invincible. And his love for her is undeniable. And he's given her heart, so she has it forever, right? And then at this point, it's similar to Bachelor style. Like, even if the lead, like if it's a bachelor and the lead is saying something and he's about to propose, he does let the woman talk. You know, like even in this situation, you would think after he spills his heart out, he wants to hear her say a few things. But no, he just gets on his knee.
So, OK, I'm looking this up because most of what he said felt like a Twilight quote. You know, it's like he practically said, look after my heart. I've left it with you. Like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's practically what he said. He didn't, unlike the Shanique and Randall, where they were very emotionally like opening their hearts and specifically talking about like things in their relationship and stuff. He's just like, I love you. It's undeniable. You're great. You know, like it was a bunch of, it was a bunch of tosh. It was a bunch of nonsense.
He's so, like, what's something else? You make me better. Okay. What's something else? I'm a better man today than I ever was before. It's just like,
so at least, you know, he can make a woman, he can turn a girl into a woman or whatever it was he said about April. Right. So at least maybe she made him a man. I don't know. So yeah, he loves her. He gives her his heart. Her to keep it, whatever. So he proposes and all my notes are just like, I don't know about this. I don't know about them. She just keeps saying what over and over. Yeah. Like after he said yes, she just keeps going, what?
Yes. And then she comments on his hat and it's just like, okay, yeah, because she's obviously she doesn't like not a it. Fan. Stop wearing the hat. He doesn't, he thinks she's joking. I to this day believe he does not hear a word she says. It's like there's a filter on his ears that just makes it all pleasantries. Whatever she's saying, it's a compliment or she's flirting. But she, and then it just allows her to say whatever she wants to him.
I think the reason I have such trouble with their relationship is because I want to put them in a box. I want them to be like, oh, he's the manipulative one and she's just with him because she's gaslit. But then I'm like, wait, but that doesn't fit with like the her being the independent woman who wants to go off with Randall. And yeah, it also doesn't fit with the fact that he's like, you know, I feel like the stereotype with his position would be like that he's, you know, he's the one who isn't super loyal. But no, he's always had her, you know, sort of top of mind, even though he's not necessarily treating her the best in the relationship from what we've seen. He always seems to prioritize her. So it's very confusing. And maybe they're meant for each other.
You know,
at this point, I would say, I hope so. I hope they are.
After everything that transpired, I really hope so. But then like, oh, okay. Her saying yes. Okay. That's a surprise. Like, okay. They, I guess they work things out enough. Today she is in his court and she wants to be with him. And he just goes, okay, I have something else to propose to you. What if we get married right now today? And she's like, okay, what?
So they must have talked about this before,
they had
right?
To.
Because in the BuzzFeed article, she says that she had an idea that he might like throw something out there like this. So this must have at the very least been a thing that he had mentioned. Like, I think it's funny considering he's the one who gave the ultimatum that she not only realizes she's okay getting engaged, but she's fine getting married. Mm-hmm. Now, at the same time, she does have a point. And it's a point that I think a lot of people should take, which is she says she wouldn't have accepted a proposal unless she was ready to get married. So you might as well get married that day.
Right.
Now, again, all my notes. WTF, this is so silly. Why is this happening? Boy just wants to lock it down before she runs away again.
Yes. He literally said, look, I know she probably can change her mind tomorrow. So let's get this locked in while she's feeling positive. Because no one just thinks, of course he's going to want to get married the day we propose. He probably said, hey, girl, if you say yes to my proposal, I'm going to mess around and want to marry you that day. So she, okay.
Okay. I mean, there's a person shows up. It seems real unofficial. Although I do love the way they edit the vows where we don't have to hear the back and forth or like the repeat after me. It's just them alternating lines. They cut a lot. I loved that. Very, very seamless. they read a cute poem. It's called Maybe. I said, this seems nice, but it seems way too on the nose for everything they went through.
And you could see her facial reactions were like, whoa, this is us. This applies to us.
Let me see if I can. I'm going to try to look this up and see if this is a real thing. Maybe poem. Okay, hang on.
Yeah, because it's all about other people and how we're the right ones for each other no matter what. And it felt like he knew that that was the poem that was going to be read because he felt like, yeah, that's us.
Okay, there are a lot of poems called Maybe, apparently. Whoa, okay, it's not that one. I don't know, but basically it was just like, maybe some people are meant for each other. Maybe some people need to go through a lot of bad relationships before they find a good one. Maybe mm-hmm. some people need to come back to each other and go, I don't know, miss what you had or something. Anyway, yeah. It was very ultimatum-y. But this was a thing that happened. I don't know. It was weird.
She said, I just married a man with a cowboy hat on. She does not love the hat. Why doesn't he get the picture?
Take the hat off. Oh, this is another thing that we are going to find out later from the BuzzFeed article. This was not a legally binding wedding,
right.
Which makes me feel like I don't know if the weddings on Love It. Or not love. Love is blind. We've debated whether those are legally binding or not. Maybe they are because they seem a little more official. This one was clearly just let's just have a sort of a fake ceremony to like feel official. But they apparently did go to the courthouse the next day. So they
yay.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah. So that made it official. But imagine being her friends. Imagine being Madeline's friends and her coming back like, oh my God. Okay. I remember what he did at the bar. Forget that. We actually made up and we're married.
I can't tell because, again, the way I thought this happened was I thought Madeline had been with this guy for a long time, goes on this show, and then sort of tells all her friends, hey, you know what? Actually, maybe not Colby. And they're like, oh, we've been waiting to tell you for years. Yes, mm-hmm. not Colby. And then now she's like, actually, just kidding, Colby. And I wonder if maybe this is just a thing with her throughout their whole relationship was, you know, hot and cold. Sometimes the friends she's going to say are always on her side. They're just 100% for Madeline. So if she loves him, they love him. If she hates him, they hate him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's all really nice to say. And I'm sure that their friends are very cordial. But take it from someone who knows. If you vent about your significant other to a friend, they will never forget that. That doesn't mean they won't be civil around them. But if you guys ever break up, they will come to you and be like, yeah. Good riddance.
And imagine seeing the behavior. She didn't even have to vent about that bar situation with him talking about like just being like super negative. They saw that and realized they were like, can you not see that? And then the next beat, she's married to him. So I would love to have been a fly on the wall with her explaining that to them.
I want to know what her mom would have said because her mom was the one who was like, yeah, he was nice the first time we met him and then he was super rude. Like, mm-hmm. I hope Colby watched the show and was like, oh, I need to make up to their parents.
Right. But yeah, she did acknowledge her dad's going to be pissed, but she did say later that he is okay with it. But I did notice in the confessional, she's still uncomfortable with like PDA in front of the camera. Like they were sitting there talking about how they are married now. And she's just kind of like, stop, like moving away from him.
Yeah, she always seems kind of uncomfortable around him. It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah,
like
I don't get it.
Maybe it's just a camera thing, but maybe. I don't know. So we see Zay in the hotel room.
Yes.
He leaves.
He moves out.
Feels like he's a better person than when he came in here. A lot of
really
uncertainty about
up.
The future. Yeah, I don't know. April is going to be single, and she's like, never mind, don't slide into my DMs. My DMs are closed, so.
Okay, April.
I don't know.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle.
You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's talk about the reunion.
Oh man. Yeah, so we start out with the five couples on stage because we need our last couple to come out. And here comes Colby and Madeline. And Madeline is 7 months pregnant.
And for everyone wondering, because everyone's wondering, I did look it up. She said that the show ended in, you know what? Now I'm backtracking because I think she said the show ended in May, but then I was sure the BuzzFeed article said, okay, so maybe it did end in May. And she said that she found out she was pregnant in August. So
the show ended in May. The reunion was in February.
Yes.
October, November, December, January, February. So that's like a 9 month time frame. But they kept saying, maybe they were just guesstimating because there were many points that Jake kept saying, well, this ended 6 months ago.
He said 6 months, then he said a year. It seemed flexible with the time frame. So
we finished this 2 years ago, I was in a very different place.
So, okay, regardless, I'm pretty sure that this was not a, we found out we're pregnant, let's get married situation.
Right.
I don't think so.
Exactly.
But I'm sure everybody wondered. So, now, there's a, real quick, let's just go around through the looks here. Because everyone, I think, well, not everyone, but most people look a little different. Madeline had blonde hair on the show, a little bit darker, a little brown here. April and Shanique are both sporting more blonde looks than they previously had. Ray has very curly hair, which, okay, it took me 10 episodes to figure out who Ray reminds me of. I'm like, uh-huh. She looks exactly in the face like someone else. Mm-hmm. Do you know who Liza Koshy is?
Yeah.
Okay, with the curly hair, I was like, it's like
she does look just like Liza. Oh my gosh. Yes, she does.
She looks exactly like her. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like very different personalities and speech patterns and everything. But I was like, oh my gosh, that's who, like, it is.
Their face, they could do a face swap and
they could do it. If they were like related long distance, that's not what I mean. Distantly. And if they were distantly related. Anyway.
Hank is from Houston.
Yes.
And Ray does spend a lot of time. Like I looked at everybody's social media and Ray does spend a lot of time in Houston, but hey, maybe it's just a coincidence.
Maybe just people in Houston look similar. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Liza is, I think she's Indian. If I'm not mistaken, but,
I don't know.
Yeah. And then, Ray is Italian and Black.
Yeah. So anyway, I had to get that out there in case anyone else was like, who does she look like? That's who it is.
Right.
I feel like everyone, when they go on these reunion shows, they're like, I need to change up my look.
Right.
Like, you know.
Colby had the longer hair.
Yes, Colby's hair was longer. Zayd, I don't think, did anything too different. And the two couples who went home early look exactly the same. So I don't know. Zayd didn't.
And if something changed, I don't think I would have noticed.
Didn't notice. Yeah. So I don't know. But overall, everyone looked. Oh, Randall looked exactly the same. Also, that was the other person.
Before they started. Looks. Yes, I did enjoy the updated looks, and then the people that could maintain a year later, or 6 months later, or 8 months later. So Vanessa Nick Lachey did gift Colby and Madeline a gift for their baby girl. And it was one of those silver sippy cups, since they all have the silver wine glasses throughout the season.
And I think these silver wine glasses are also a thing from Love is Blind. Like they, yeah, I feel Love like they feel very familiar.
Gold.
Okay. But they use these same. I don't mind the like goblets. I think it's more the like when they're drinking just other random things out of them.
Yeah.
That bother me. Another thing, in case you don't want to read the BuzzFeed article, was apparently Colby and Madeline both stole some of those as well from the show, which I think is funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it always felt weird when I would see them, like, okay, at home, I get it, right? It's in their apartment. But when, like, Zay and Shanique had them at a restaurant, like,
it's like, wait, did they bring them there? Like, what?
They're like, wait a minute, your cups.
It's such a weird look for the show. Yeah. They talk about marriage. Sorry, one more thing about the baby. Vanessa's like, oh my gosh, it's our first ultimatum baby. Yeah. No crap it is. It's the first season. Like, how many, like, what did you think this was? And like, everything online is like the ultimatum franchise. Is it a franchise yet? We've had one season.
If anything, it's the Vanessa Nick Lachey franchise, and you can just lump Love is Blind in there, the ultimatum.
Yeah. Is it? I guess this is the first Nick Vanessa and Vanessa Lachey baby. Oh my gosh. And he's like, I'm taking credit. Like, okay.
Right. But they definitely took this opportunity to transition to someone else on the stage who really wanted a baby, which was Nate. And Nick just throws it to Nate and asks, hey, Nate, were you jealous seeing this, that this transpired and they have a baby on the way? So then they do this edit of all the time Nate has mentioned wanting kids, whether that's in front of the women, in his confessionals, to Lauren, whatever.
It was a lot.
It was
funny. They had a couple funny montages.
They did.
This might have been my favorite one. And yeah, he. Okay. So the whole Lauren and Nate thing, it's fine. Whatever. Do we even get like an. They're still together. Yes, they're still together.
They're still together. They decided to have one child because they sought therapy. And so now they're at the point where they will have one kid. They're not there yet where they're working on it, but they, in the future, they will have one kid.
Look, they whatever, you know, I'm sure they had lots of advice. It's great that they went to counseling, because everyone on this show should do that. Everyone in serious relationships who have questions should do that. I feel like it's weird to say that the like medium between not wanting kids and wanting kids is one kid. But that's kids.
That's a whole kid.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like the medium between not wanting kids and wanting kids is like
a dog.
Yeah, like a dog, or like maybe our siblings have kids.
Right.
I don't know.
We take care of them on the weekends.
Yeah. Like, do lots of babysitting. I'm not sure. It's so interesting.
She's like, we compromise by doing what he wants.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, look, whatever. I'm sure they're happy. But of course, we had our first of a few moments of Alexis just chiming in, being like, so are you having kids or not? Like, very shake. Like, very, I'm directing the interview now.
Because Vanessa even was like, well, why'd you ask? She's like, I wanted to know.
She's
like, well, why did you want to know? I thought that was so fun. Like, they easily could have edited that out, but they kept it because it's like, yeah, Alexis, why are you steering the conversation? We got this. But I feel like Nate kind of got the easy way out with like that whole debacle at the Choice where he proposed to Lauren out of nowhere. Because they questioned him about it. And he's like, I just didn't know who I was going to choose. I felt like I had to choose somebody, even though I wanted to go home with Lauren. But I didn't know who I wanted to choose. So we didn't really get a clear answer on why he decided to propose in that moment. Why that trans? But my thing is, I guess we just don't really care.
Yeah, we may never get an answer to half of the things that Nate did on the show. I don't know.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. But yeah, so.
Yeah. Okay. With Alexis inserting herself, we got to transition to Alexis and Hunter. Once again, it's pretty straightforward. They are still engaged, getting married in June. His mom is their wedding planner. They've moved in together, and finances are no longer an important thing because they contribute equally. So what issues would they have had?
Well, once again, why were they not already together? Why were you on this show? Okay, casting, great job in finding Alexis.
Yes.
But like, this was a total flop for your premise.
Like, what they else just could Alexis have been on? Because it was clear she just kind of, she saw this. She reached out. She applied because this is a perfect opportunity. I'm in a long-term relationship. We can make up an issue. But there's something else she could have done. The circle.
Hunter brought nothing.
Nothing.
The surprise proposal was the most. And this was just, it's like, I don't even remember. Did we have one single interesting conversation with him in like the dating phase?
Just comforting April like that last night.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Okay. Well, and that's that. And that's them. Good
happy
job
for them.
Happy for them.
Yeah. They've posted a lot of nice pictures together.
Is happy for them the opposite of like the sorry for you?
Yeah.
Just happy for them. Moving on.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Anything else? Oh yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
No, I was just going to say, nothing else for them. The next person that they kind of focused on the reunion was April. And it wasn't really April and Jake. It was just April because it was just explaining like, you know, all the stress that she went through, the decision why she decided to look through his phone, which in the BuzzFeed article, she said that they had, was this in the BuzzFeed article? I can't remember. I think it possibly was, where she said they had each other's codes to their phones. So she always looked, well, not always looked through his phone, but
she was like, I always had access to his phone. Like, this wasn't a new thing.
Right. But I thought the most surprising thing was learning that she stayed at his place for a few months after the ultimatum decision. And they had been, well, I don't know if they'd been hooking up, but I guess they tried to explore a little bit. But the big news is that she's in a serious relationship now.
With, I believe, her friend's boss.
Yes, her friend's
whatever
boss.
That means. Right. The April stuff is interesting. Like, I thought she was just such an interesting character. And then now that I've, like, read more from the article and heard her now, I still think that she's a very intriguing person. But it definitely does come off a lot more like, I don't know. Because, again, I'm trying to put her in a box. Because it's like, if she just wanted to go on the show, you would think that maybe she would have spent more time trying to be interesting with Colby. Whereas, really, she got, like, a very small edit during most of that phase because they weren't doing anything. They weren't even talking. They weren't pretending to date. It really seemed like she was all in on Jake and then kind of fine. I mean, not fine, but, you know, over it when they left. So, I did have to feel a little upset. When she said, like, oh, you know, I tried to date when I got back, but then once I just concentrated on myself and, you know, put things aside, it's that classic case of like, everyone always says like, oh, you know, you'll find love when you stop looking for it. Girl, I've been stopped looking for it for 4 years. Where's my love? She had to wait like 3 months.
That's what they say. It'll always come to you when you're not looking.
When is it going to come to me in my room, in my podcasting studio? How is that going to make it work?
Just need to close your eyes. Don't look anywhere. Ride that out for a month or two. Uh-huh. And then someone's just going to come knock on your door.
Right.
That's the way that's the way yeah. people make it seem like it works.
Ding dong, it's the milkman. Exactly. Time for some loving.
The milkman. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So let's see. Jake has spent the last 6 months trying to figure things out romantically. This is when we find out that, we talk more about the whole April pregnancy situation. And they asked Jake, like, if she had been pregnant, what would you have done? He's like, yeah, I would have been there for her.
Right. Naturally. I don't know why that was ever a question.
I don't know. Because, I mean, again, from Jake's point of view, he was planning on proposing. It's honestly pretty amazing how much April messed this up for their relationship.
Literally. Like, what she did is what I think Shanique thought she was doing with her own relationship.
But Shanique got lucky somehow. Yeah,
exactly. Like, the fact that the point where she's complaining about all these things, she's like, Jake was checked out. I knew the moment he got back with me that he only wanted to go back with Ray. And he's like, why did you bring me on this show? Cue this amazing montage of him saying he got dragged on the show.
That was another they really, really were locking it in with the montages. Right. And I just want to roll that back for a second. I'm not saying that, like, Shanique and April had the same story and, like, one of them got lucky or whatever. No. They were all four of them hot messes in those relationships. Maybe not Randall. Randall seemed pretty chill the whole time. I don't know. But it just seems like, I feel like Jake was kind of like, I'm in with April. And then he gets on the show and realizes, you know what? Maybe there are other people out there for me. And maybe I don't need to be all in with April.
Wait a second. What was I thinking? No, like, legit, April and Jake would probably be engaged right now if the show never happened. Because the way that they were operating, clearly they had been together for 3 years. They knew how to make it work. I mean, in balance, like, they knew each other. So the arguments and everything that they went through, even though from the outside looking in, some might say, okay, that's a little toxic. But who's to say they argued the way that they did in that 3 weeks, the way that they did before? Now he had all these realizations. So it's just like he's coming in a new person. I mean, he said his entire life changed in these 2 months. So
apparently, yeah.
Yeah, April single-handedly changed the course of her next year, basically. But this man that she's with, I mean, they're talking marriage, they're talking kids because he's older. I don't know. I feel like this has major rebound potential. I mean, like, it sounds like a rebound for sure, but she's moved on fast is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I had a friend growing up who went through several long-term relationships, and she was seemingly all in on all of the relationships, and also seemed to, it was not her decision to end any of the relationships, but every time one would end, she would, you know, 6 months later, find another one, date for several years, just, you know, that pattern. And then, you know, by the time she was 24, whatever, found one, got married. Like, it just, you know, it happened. So, and there wasn't a super ton of time, you know, 6 months to a year in between each of these. And I was always just kind of like, man, where does she keep finding these, like, people who are willing to be in long-term relationships? But hey, it worked. So, you know, it happens with some people, and I don't know if April's that way, or if this is just, you know, time and place, it worked. In the BuzzFeed article, it sounds like she said that she made sure that they knew that she was on this show and didn't want it to be like a surprise, but also didn't want to date someone who was only dating her after the show aired because it aired or something.
Right. So, right. And I do genuinely wish April the best. I did see something today about her. She had previously posted, or maybe she hadn't posted him, but it was posted somewhere, her and that guy, and then it's no longer up. So I'm curious if they are still together. Because February is, 3 months ago now? 2 months?
2 months, yeah. So maybe not. Maybe he watched the show.
He's like, whoa.
I don't know. I want the best for her. I want the best for Jake as well. I think Jake seems to be very level-headed and just kind of like, you know, working through himself. He yeah. said that the show, you know, happened during a time also where he lost several family members and things. So I think he's just trying to concentrate on himself for a little while.
Was that him? I thought that was Randall, who had lost his grandma, his best friend. And...
You're right. Maybe I'm mixing okay, okay. people. My yeah, notes are not in the right order. But I do know that he said that he was concentrating on himself.
He was. And, he did yeah. say like dating wasn't even on the table because he was focusing on him. But yes. I do have
Thank
an update
you for the correction.
From, yeah, I do have an update from April on her Instagram story. She has a poll of when should I post him. Right now, never, next week, or next month. So,
okay. Maybe he does exist.
He still exists, and we will see if she does post him. Right now, let me see. I'm going to put in a vote for right now. So, the poll results are 97% right now, 2% never, 1% next week, and 1% next month. So, people want to see him.
Yeah. Maybe she posted the picture, realized that she would get more traction if she did a poll first.
Yeah.
You know, build up some
suspense.
Some suspense, right. So I don't know. I mean, I hope the best for her. And yeah, we'll see. So right. Then we're going to move to the Jake and Ray stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds like they never went on that trip.
The trip? What is he going to get a refund for the empty envelope? How does that work?
It seems like they never considered it. And then, okay, this segues right into a pretty big argument that we have between Zay and Ray, where from what I could tell from following this, I mean, there's a lot of speaking over each other, so it's a little hard to follow yes. everything. But she starts off kind of saying like, yeah, you know what? Me and Zay, we gave it another shot when we came back. We, you know, tried sort of, you know, fixing some things. I do think that I was more expressive with him. He was more of a listener with me. But we're no longer together. Things just didn't work out. And she
Very
said it. I was like, oh, look, that sounds nice. That sounds real good. And then he's like, oh, yeah. Then like, why are you trying to have sex with me all the time? And she was like, well, it wasn't like every day, but like, yes, obviously we did sleep together because we were trying to date again.
Yeah. It's like Bad Girls Club. Reunion.
Yeah.
Shout out to our friend Mari Forth. But she mentioned Bad Girls Club on Crime Scene this week. Catch that on Tuesdays when that drops. So he's calling her out, like trying to start an argument. She's coming from a very so level-headed, like, hey, look, we didn't go on the trip because we wanted to respect where everybody was. Everybody's trying to fix things. He's no. Say why you didn't go on the trip. Say why you didn't. I'm like, Zay, you're changing the energy of this conversation because you're mad because they're still in a good place. Like, I was waiting on an update from Jake and Ray because literally they were sitting close. I was like, okay, what is it there? Because they were sitting close. It wasn't just like a standoffish energy. They weren't sitting like Zay and April were by any means, like opposite ends of the couch, even though like they'd have nothing against each other. But you would think if, oh, me and Jake tried things, didn't work out, they would be like, oh no, but they're clearly still good with each other. And I don't think Zay likes that because he's like, he thinks in his mind, it should be like she doesn't get along with Zay as much as she doesn't get along with Jake, when that's not the case at all.
Yeah. The thing that was throwing me off was when he said like, oh, like I'll basically like, I have the receipts, like I'll let the information out. I'm like, what does this mean? Are you going to like show texts where you said like, you know, hey, you up? Like, I'm not sure like what they were trying to imply there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, again, they were yelling over each other, so it was hard to tell. But it was, we never got, I don't think they ever once asked Jake and Ray straight up, like, so are you guys still together? Like, they really segue straight from, did you go on the trip, to this argument? And then we don't even circle back to them as a couple. We get in a check-in on Jake and then we get a check-in on Ray, but not them together. So it's weird.
Yeah. Which was it, the BuzzFeed article that said that they are now Ray and Zay or Ray and Jake are, they didn't start hanging out until after the reunion. So they've hung out a few times, but that's it.
Maybe just,
I don't know what that means.
They were back together in the same area, rekindled some things. I don't know.
Right. This argument just, it just threw me for a loop because it was just like, okay, y'all, there's still some feelings there from Zay's end, at least, because Ray is coming from a point of growth. She talks about how, like, watching herself back, she realizes how cold she was being with him. And she apologizes for that. Like, she's just like, I thought I was being so open, and watching back, I literally see myself being so cold. And I'm so sorry for that. So clearly out of this situation, Ray did learn more about herself and grow more than Zay is showing, at least, because he's still back to day one Zay, who cares mostly about his physical relationship with Ray. And it was just like, what is happening? The fact that he storms out, like, it just didn't like during the Shanique and Zay part, it was just too much for two people that are broken up. Like, this should be moving on. Like, why is this still unresolved?
I don't know. It felt like a sort of, I don't know, from Zay's side, maybe it seemed like he was trying to, like, win the breakup, sort of.
Yeah, yeah.
Is kind of what it felt like. Like, he was upset, maybe that, I mean, maybe he was upset that she seemed okay about everything.
Yeah.
When, you know, he's not, like, I mean, they ask him if he's been dating anyone, and he said no, he's just been trying to figure out what he wants. And,
right.
And I don't know, because it's still unclear how many months have been gone by, but he,
18 months.
Right, exactly. Yeah. He seems like, I don't know how long him and Ray were still together trying to rekindle things before, mm-hmm. Before the reunion, or like,
yeah.
You know, how long has he really been single? Has it only been a month or two? I'm not sure. So anyway,
yeah. Before we got to the big argument that kind of like,
yes,
that like Ray was even killed up until something that until the Shanique and Zay of it all.
Yes.
But we got the bomb drop that the, since her and Zay were involved, the only person that she's been with was a woman. And she talks about how she's been with a woman. It was kind of casual and that, like, and that's it. But she's always been uncomfortable about being bi. And so she's really glad that she was able to get that experience. And everybody was really supportive. And I bet it was big of her to feel comfortable enough to share that, especially on TV and in front of everyone.
Yeah, it was a nice moment. I think it's something that, you know, it's great to see more normalizing of,
yeah.
of people just being like, yeah, hey, you know, just trying to figure out my sexuality out here like everyone else.
Right.
So it was a nice moment. You know, everyone very supportive. And I guess I haven't done any, since I literally just watched this show an hour ago,
yeah.
I haven't done any looking around on Instagram to see if they're still together or not. It sounds like a lot of people are just mostly speculating about Ray and Jake potentially being together. So
mm-hmm.
she said it was casual. Maybe there's just kind of more of a person to lean on for a little while.
Right. I think it was. And then the fact that now after the reunion, her and Jake have hung out a little bit, it seems like she's keeping things as casual as she can right now until she decides to get serious. So I have seen on TikTok that she is posting things with, like, memories with Zay.
Okay.
Saying, like, no matter what this other person says, I'm still going to be positive about what we did share. So I think Zay is not being too positive about this situation.
Well, and I think that that's also important, because for someone who dated someone for a while, like, you, no matter how messy a breakup is or what things were negative, it doesn't do any good to post that, like, dwell on that. Like, I'm sure that they have lots of, you know, memories and events and pictures together and things.
Yeah.
And you don't want to pretend like that part of your life didn't exist or look back on it sadly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I feel like that's it's really her probably trying to be the bigger person here and probably just doing something for herself that she knows she needs to, like,
exactly,
you know, feeling better about the time they spent together. So
right. On brand with her doing something for herself, we got that segment, which I thought they were trying to transition into Shanique and Randall, but they were really transitioning into Shanique and Zay. And they show us that, you know, spy shot of them in the bed and why Shanique felt like she wanted to do that. And Shanique, like we guess, was just jealous and felt betrayed and wanted to kind of get back at Randall for being able to go all in and explore Madeline, which I was proud of her for admitting that.
Yeah, this was great. So this was something that I felt like for some reason, even though it was so clear from watching it, the argument between Shanique and Randall about like the Madeline situation, and then the argument between Madeline and Colby about what he did. I feel like in both of those arguments, I'm like, this seems very straightforward. It seems like two people who were, you know, sort of upset that they were not finding a romantic connection like their ex was. And so they wanted to reach out, you know, in different areas. I mean, it's a little different. That was more like what April did. But with Shanique, it seems like they never vocalized on the show exactly. Like, she's jealous and she wants to feel like, you know, she's feeling left out from what everyone else might be doing, basically. Mm-hmm. But she says that right after they got together. So I don't know if that's at the end of the show or when they got back together for those 3 weeks.
Beginning of the 3 weeks.
Yeah. That she told Randall right away what happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said he was very understanding of all of it, but it was a hard thing to rewatch.
Yes.
Boom. Big argument.
And he knew it was coming. I was like, that it's like, yeah, it's like going up on a roller coaster. You know, the drop's coming. You may not want it, but it's coming. So at least Randall was prepared.
Yes.
Ray was not prepared because Zay never told her that happened. This was the moment that Ray finally got everything off her chest that she has not been able to express, the anger that she has for Zay for doing certain things. I feel like she did a great job just getting it out because she was livid at the fact that this man accused her the whole time of getting with Jake and accused her. And she says, like, in not pleasant ways, of accusing her with getting with Jake. All this time he's doing that when he did this with Shanique, all he had to do was own it. And she wouldn't have been mad about that. If he had just came back and owned it, she would have been fine. Or she probably would have been like, dang, that sucks that happened, but at least you were honest. But the fact that this man tried to beat her down by, you know, accusing her of doing too much with Jake, who she's not even with today. And then he was guilty of exploring things himself. I was so happy for Ray for getting this off her chest. And he kept trying to interrupt her, of course, because that's what he does. Since he couldn't explain himself, he leaves and storms out. And then we have to get like a Jerry Springer, like camera moment of like following him backstage. I was like, what? Why?
I don't know. The main thing I was upset about from this was this has happened on so many shows recently. Saying I accept full responsibility yes. for a mistake I made is not the same as apologizing to a person for how you hurt them. Those are different things.
Yes.
Asia, if I insulted you and then I was like, you know what? I accept full responsibility for that. I shouldn't have done that. That doesn't make you feel any better. I didn't
at
say,
all.
Asia, I'm sorry about what I said and how I might have hurt you. And it was wrong of me to say that. And the reason I'm mostly upset is because I care about you as a podcaster and a friend, and I shouldn't have upset you in that way. And that was really wrong of me. Not, you know what? I accept full responsibility. Here's another thing that's not apologizing. Saying after saying, you know, I accept full responsibility, saying I'm sincerely apologizing. Saying you're apologizing is also not an apology unless you say I apologize and then followed up with why. Just saying I'm apologizing. I'm apologizing for doing this thing. And then after he comes back from the trip down the hall. Sort of like cut in, they had to like amplify it, like turn up the volume. He goes, I'm sorry. Like right before someone else, I'm like, really? I'm sorry. Okay.
It was okay. Forced. That audio was forced because it was like, it's, I don't know if it's pride or what. I mean, I think it is what you said. He's trying to win the breakup, and the fact that she's okay and she's not broken up about this, he does not like that. He just wants to be able to be like, look, I'm hurt because we broke up. I need you to be hurt as well. And I'm not seeing that you're hurt. So I'm going to keep trying to press the issue until I can see some type of emotion.
Yep.
But she, Ray was crying and her and Jake were holding hands. I was like, okay, Jake is truly just like her best friend, because if they're not romantically involved, they still have a great relationship, which I'm so glad for, because I was just rooting for them. And if they're not for each other romantically, at least they now have each other in their lives and they have so much in common and they could be good friends.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still rooting for them. You know, we were the whole show, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Also, I love the moment where Vanessa says, like, you know, we don't want to see you hurt. We don't want to see you fighting. We're here to hear about your process. Then why did you put them on this show? What was the plan for this? You knew they were going to get hurt.
Yes.
Don't lie to me, Vanessa. You know you're loving this.
Right. She's just like, okay, this is gold. I mean, I think another thing that developed out of this was the fact that we learned that Ray and Shanique developed a good friendship from this, and that Zay did not like any time that Ray hung out with Shanique, and she never knew why. And then once she watched the show, she knew why, which is what we found out from the BuzzFeed article, is that they were able to watch the whole season once they arrived to film the reunion.
Yeah, it was very
the whole thing.
Very like early years of Big Brother when they used to do that, like right before the jury vote, have them watch the whole season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we're going to talk to Shanique and Randall for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And they both look great. I loved their outfits. They're my favorite. They
look good.
Not the same shade, but the same colors of my college. And so I was like, yes, this coordination, this fall leaves color with the light orange and the maroon, loved it. So the first thing we find out is that Shanique is not wearing her ring anymore. Yeah. But I feel like, unlike some of the other couples, I was like, yeah, but I know you're still together, because they were very like hand on the knee, arm around. The back. Like they seemed close. Mm-hmm. Once they got back from the show, apparently they broke up for 6 months, which, like Vanessa says, being in a relationship, I mean, 2.5 years, that's not nothing, but 6 months, that's a big percentage of that time. So they broke up for a while because of real life set back in. And I think they realized that a lot of the foundational things they were struggling with were still present, and that they needed to confront those. But they realized that it was really the hardest time being apart, and they're back together now. They're taking it slow, so they're not engaged, but they're working through their own timeline, and they like the way things are going. I like when they talk about it being really hard watching themselves and seeing how they acted. Like, Randall's even going to say that he feels like when his communication, he was coming off very selfish. Maybe a little bit, but like compared to everyone else, Randall, you're fine.
Right, exactly.
And she says that she couldn't believe that the way that she was communicating and everything.
She
but
said she was mortified. I felt like that was a big word, because like that shows growth. Like, if she watched this back and was just like, you know, that's me. I'm, you know, take me or leave it. What you saw was me. Then it'd be like, okay. But the fact that she was mortified by her, like how she behaved with like interacting with him and in their arguments, I was like, okay, wow, she really has grown, and they are truly in a better place. So I feel so optimistic about them.
I felt like the people who seem to, I mean, I know that this was just, it was a reunion show, who knows?
Yeah.
But the people who seemed really, really and kind of to have grown and felt different than they were on the show, I think Ray, I think Shanique, and I think mostly because of the way they were vocalizing. Like, it means a lot to hear someone say after watching a show, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe how I was acting, or you know, seeing this, that doesn't feel like me. I didn't, you know, I didn't have that perception of myself. And most of the time on these reality shows, instead we hear them say like, oh, the editing was bad. You missed this. You didn't see this, whatever.
Yeah, they never said that.
And they weren't saying that. And so I was like, wow, you know, that was great. And I think, I can't remember. We'll see if I can find it in my notes, but one of Colby or Madeline, I felt like also, it was Madeline. Madeline was talking about how watching the show was kind of hard and how she felt like she was acting on the show was different than how she normally was. And so I feel like there was a lot of growth there all around. And hopefully, even the people we didn't necessarily see it from, hopefully everyone grew from this experience.
Fingers crossed. Even the first two couples.
Yeah, I don't but, know.
Yeah, so Randall was the one to say, like, you know, he lost his grandma, his aunt, and one of his best friends. You're so right. He didn't date while they were broken up. And so I think it was really good that they just took that time to self-reflect and realize they wanted to give themselves a real shot. And it wasn't this, like, toxic, just back and forth thing that Jake and April and Ray and Zay were doing. This is like a, no, let's take time for ourselves, especially after going through this experience. And now we can work ourselves on our own timeline, like they said. So I think it'd be, Randall, if you're listening, I think it would be really cute when you do propose to Shanique again to go back to the same spot, maybe with some family and friends this time. That would be cute.
Maybe. Yeah, that would be good. I actually thought for a moment when they were asking him, like, is there anything holding you back from this relationship? Like things that you're still waiting on her to change or you to change? I thought they were trying to like set him up to be like, nope, everything's good. Gets down on one knee, proposes to you. Like I thought that's where we were going. I'm so glad we didn't. Yeah. So glad we didn't, because no proposals at reunion shows. Stop. None of those. So let's see. I guess, do we end with Madeline and Colby? Yep. Mm-hmm. So circle back to them after the initial pregnancy talk. They talk about how married life has been. Couple jokes about it being like exactly like the show, except not, because they're not living with other people. There's a really awkward moment where they say, they're talking about how they don't fight anymore because they aren't fighting for themselves. They're fighting for the team and for their family. And then Nick and Vanessa Lachey talk about how the best thing they've ever done is creating a family. And it just pans to Lauren's face, who's just like, like, stop with this poor girl. Right. She doesn't want to have kids. Stop forcing her. Oh my
gosh. I need that to be said next season. If someone doesn't want to have a kid, I need someone saying it is A-okay for someone not to want to have children. They don't have to be persuaded to have children.
And I also fully understand that if you are someone who wants to have children, starting a family probably does feel like the best thing you've ever done. I get that too. But you did not need to pan to her and show that as if, because it was like her being like, oh my gosh, I'm being forced into this and I don't want to. Like, that's what it seemed like.
They might as well have turned to Alexis. So Alexis, what do you think about that?
I know. Oh my gosh. Colby says the whole experience was to confirm his love for Madeline. Madeline thought it was, this is where it was. She thought it was weird watching herself and seeing how she felt like she was debating between giving herself to Colby, but that would also mean losing herself.
Yeah.
And so like wanting to cling to, I guess, her independent self. And I guess realizing that you can still be yourself while being married. I don't know. I'm not sure where we were going with that.
Yeah, Nick took this time to give his little insight about, you grow more into yourself when you're in a marriage.
Right.
I feel like we've learned so much about Nick and Vanessa Lachey's marriage. And I don't know who asked. I don't think that was out there. I don't think anyone was like, oh, I'm so glad Nick and Vanessa are hosting this so that we can really get some more insight on their marriage. But
what did I know about Nick and Vanessa Lachey before watching these shows? Not much. And now I know a lot.
A lot. Now I could start a conversation with my friends about their marriage.
So did you hear that Nick went through a very public divorce? And then and that was hard for Vanessa. And then she had to give an ultimatum to him after being together for 5 years.
5 years.
Right. Did you know that watching Madeline being pregnant made her ovaries scream? I know that.
Did you know that she also says that coconut oil can be very useful I was like, Vanessa.
That was the most, like, there's a point where she's asking someone, like, what was the weirdest thing you learned? And I think it's Shanique who says, like, oh, olive oil can be used as lube. And she's like, so can coconut oil. I'm just saying, haha. And I'm like, you're trying to be like, okay, it felt like, and I've been this person, when you're like, part of you like really wants to like say a little something that's going to be like, yeah, I've done dirty things too. But then the second you say it, you're like, no one else was on board for this conversation. And it's just me acting a fool over here.
I'm like, y'all, the credits are rolling. Why are we getting into this? It was like literally the very last thing that was said.
And there was so much weird editing because it was like, there were a couple moments where we had, like, seriously, they amplified the volume of certain lines. And that was one of them, because it's like people are talking over and they just turned up that line. They turn up one of the lines Alexis says at one point,
yes,
where she turns to Hunter and is like, if you ever, oh, we actually didn't even get there yet. It was about Colby and his, yes, like night out at the bar or whatever. And she's like, if you ever tried to get with someone off this show, like I would have been done right then. he's like, yeah, I understand.
But it's like taking every like she despises Colby. And we have seen that from episode one through all the way through episode 10.
I don't know. They are intriguing. Colby and Madeline as well. So we finally clear up the argument. We finally express how Colby's like says that, you know, basically the same thing that Shanique said. He felt like he wasn't feeling like he was getting the same experience on the show as Madeline, but he went about it in the wrong way and blamed her for it. And he shouldn't have done that. And guess what? That is owning up to your actions. I'm assuming that he apologized to her as well for it. But at the same time, with Madeline Alexis talking about this, about how bad it was what Colby did, I think the part that was bad that he did was blaming Madeline. I actually don't think what he did was a problem in the context of the show. I still don't understand why everyone is so much more upset that he hooked up with someone at a bar than, like, everyone else seemed to be totally fine with their significant others hooking up with people on the show. Do we care about the rules or do we not? Make up your mind.
I think I'm somewhere, like, not quite in the middle, but still leaning on your side of things. I just think it would have been okay if he had told her he did it. The fact that they had to find out was what made it an offense. If he had been up, like, hey, just so you know, because I really didn't get anything going with April, I had this going on with this girl, just so you're aware. You know, she could have been mad at that point, but I don't think she would have been as mad as she did get.
My guess is the sequence of events was like, he has been hearing about how Randall and Madeline have been getting close. Although it turns out, doesn't sound like they really did much of anything.
Right.
But he's been hearing that. He's been feeling, jealous. Hooks up with the girl at the bar, talks with her. Madeline comes back into the picture. He's not sure. She's not like all over him. Yes, yes, I want to get married, blah, 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 from day one. Mm-hmm. And so he's like still feeling on the defensive. So he doesn't tell her about it. And then when he does, you know, when she finds out about it and he talks to her about it, still on the defensive, trying to push blame onto her, etc. When really what he could have done was just been like, you know what? I was feeling jealous. Just admit to being jealous, first off. I was feeling jealous. I was feeling lonely. And I was also sort of hoping that maybe, you know, like, this is bad. This is a bad thought I had, but I just missed you so much. And so I was hoping that maybe this would make you a little jealous or something. Like, that's not, these are not great things you're doing, but owning up to it, at least someone's going to understand. So,
yes, at least, you know, just take some responsibility, but know how, and then you'll be okay.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
But yeah, they ended it with these like hot fire questions, which I don't know if it's totally necessary, but
I got nothing out of this.
Yeah. Who learned the least? Hunter, who hasn't said two words all night, says Nate. They're like, because he hasn't been there.
Yeah. Really funny when April is like, ha ha ha. Well, he wasn't even there. Yeah. Although I don't know. I don't know if that, like, of the cast who was actually on the full show, who do you think learned the least from the experience?
Zay.
Yeah, probably Zay.
I just feel like if Zay had reached a point, maybe Shanique wasn't the right person for Zay to try to go through the 3 weeks with.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because they were too similar. I argued, and that never really helped Zay's communication style. So I don't know who would have been helpful for Zay, but I feel like he's very much so in the same place he was in when he walked in day one.
Yeah. It's tricky. I think that Zay just needs a little bit of perspective on, mm-hmm. on his self. We didn't hear a ton about Zay's thoughts on watching the show back. And so maybe, you know, it must be hard to, like, it's a really hard thing to look at yourself. I mean, trust me, I have to re-listen to my own podcast.
I literally was about to say that. I'm like, I'm at the point now where I don't even listen to my own podcast back. Cause I'm just like, wait a second. Like, you know, I said that word weird.
I said everything weird. So I feel like, you know, Zay, it must be hard to watch yourself on a show and then have to potentially see cringy things or embarrassing things or mm-hmm. things that you don't, you know, that you don't like the fact that you did. So it must be hard. And I can't imagine being on a show like this that's about, like, dating and then trying to, you know,
messing up
and then still be with that person. Like, props to Shanique and Randall for really seeming to, like, take seriously the idea of, like, we are trying to grow and we are trying to work through our problems and be better people for each other. Like, I'm really, you know what, my fan fiction is Jake and Ray, but I want Shanique and Randall to get through this and be happy. Like, I was rooting for them the hardest during these two episodes, more so than I was at any other point in the show. Like, we said from the beginning, we really like them, but we like them kind of individually, that we don't know if they're right for each other. I've come around. I feel like they are good for each other. They just,
found a way
to see it. Right.
Yeah.
And then, of course, despite everything, I guess I have to root for Madeline and Colby just because, like, I don't know at this point.
Yeah.
You're married, I guess. Like,
for the baby girl, I hope they can figure it out and figure out their communication and just really understand each other so they know how to approach the other. So would you say you think that Shanique and Randall learned the most?
I think so, probably. Like, I think that they always seemed the ones, well, I would say Randall seemed like the person on the show the most who was really actively trying to, like, learn about himself, better himself, learn about not just himself, but what he is looking for in a partner. He was the one who had, like, Shanique, here are the things that I feel like are, you know, issues also coming from your end that, like, we need to work on. I would say Jake was a close second as well.
Yeah.
For that scenario. So,
yeah, you know? I definitely agree. And then I'd have to give Ray, like, a most improved player award. Or metal or something, for just, you know, day one, Ray, I just thought she was here for the cameras and she did not know what marriage was, but I feel like she really went on a journey of finding herself through being able to be comfortable enough, opening up to Jake and being able to express herself ultimately with Zay and really building relationships out of this. Like, for Madeline to call Ray when Colby was gone, I was like, okay, Ray has some solid friendships in this group. We totally skipped over the twerking contest.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how we missed that.
They show these side by side, the real twerking video with Ray and then April imitating Ray from watching the video. And Ray gives April props for doing it in heels.
First off, yes, props to April for doing it in heels, also doing it in that short of a dress. I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping it was like a romper or something, because I don't know how I would have the confidence to get in that position on a camera, but good job. And then I thought, I was not sure how this editing was going to go. It was actually very funny and like surprisingly well matched up.
Yeah.
So, but I love that moment. I can't believe we forgot to bring that up until now.
Yes. Yeah, that was funny. But yeah, that was our reunion and the finale. Any other moments that we didn't talk about?
No, the show closes out with April saying she's very pro ultimatum. She has a lot of friends who've been in long term relationships where one person is just coasting. And she thinks if they had put their foot down, maybe they would end up like Alexis or Colby. or maybe they end up like Zay and Ray. We don't know. You know,
right?
It could go multiple ways. But
that's my question. Does it work? Does the ultimatum work? 4 out of 6 couples are together.
Wow. It was 4 out of 6. Yeah. It was 4 out of 6 and then a potential with 2 people maybe, you know, having a thing in the future.
Working on things. Yeah.
Working on the, like, we don't know. We got a married couple, 2 engaged couples, a couple who was engaged but is still together. So, I mean, yeah, that's pretty good. Pretty good odds.
I know. I mean, better than the Bachelor odds.
Much better.
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I was satisfied with the way it turned out. It was a very fun show. If for some reason you've listened to this whole podcast and not watched it, well, I don't know, maybe watch season 2. Like, right. I'm not saying you need to go back, but yeah, really great. For everyone who has followed along with us on Twitter, thank you for all of the comments. I've loved reading everyone's thoughts on the show as watching it. What up, Tim? Says that he loved the shot of the circling vultures as Madeline walks out to meet Colby at the end. That was a good moment. A lot of people seem to really like the reunion and the finale.
Yeah,
as well. And let's see. Yeah, the people wanted answers on all of the drama off cameras with DMs, Instagram, going out, that sort of thing. So, yeah, the thing I think I was surprised most about was the number of, like, considering there were cameras in the apartments, the number of things we didn't see, conversations we didn't see between people. Like, I'm kind of surprised we didn't see, maybe just because they would have to have, like, sign waivers and stuff, like, who the person Colby went out with, you know, any of those conversations. It seems like there was just a lot of downtime where they kind of go out and do their own thing.
Yeah, it probably was a situation where it's just like, well, we already know this cast is going to get enough feedback about the show. Let's not involve these extra people. We don't want to have to pay them. So let's just keep them as a figment of everyone's imagination.
Lots of people. I've got 3 separate tweets at me saying that they hope all the couples leave separately, seek therapy immediately, please become single. So, yeah, a lot of thoughts of that.
All valid points. But look, people, 4 out of 6. That's 2/3 of the couples stay together.
Yeah. Yeah. So good times. Anything else, Asia, on this group of episodes?
No, I think that's it. I was glad that it was easy to the whole season was easy to consume. I would imagine if someone hasn't watched at this point, it would be really easy for them to just binge the whole season in like a day. I really enjoyed it. I'm excited for season 2 and what they're going to do with that. They have announced it's going to be an all queer cast.
Yes.
So that'll be interesting because it gives me flashbacks to Are You the One when they did the all queer cast. So there's going to be potential for a lot of different romantic situations there. So I think that'll be really interesting. We don't know when it's going to come out, but the way that Netflix is spitting things out, probably is going to come out later 2022. We'll see.
Well, it's a franchise now, so I don't know if you heard.
the Ultimatum Empire.
Hey, well, you know, the Ultimatum Married or Move On, whenever they can make up the Ultimatum Break Up and Get Away is the show that I want to be on.
You need to start a relationship now so that you can be we've been together for 8 months and
for 8 months or 10 months or 18 months. I'm not unclear.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But
well,
yeah, so
yeah, awesome. Thanks. It's been great covering this with you. And I want to remind everyone that you can find all of the coverage that we've done for Love is Blind, as well as Asia's Married at First Sight coverage. And of course, the Ultimatum over at robiswebsite.com/firstsightfeed. If you're looking for that, make sure to subscribe, rate and review over there. And thanks for sticking with us. You know, we have some plans to probably coverage coverage cover some of the spinoff Love is Blind shows as well at some point. So yes. Wait for some sort of content on that, as well as, you know, season 2, 3, 4, 5 of all of these.
Of Love is Blind Ultimatum.
I can't wait for the Love is Blind Ultimatum crossover.
Exactly.
You meet people behind a wall, and then you have to give them an ultimatum. I mean, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Exactly. Hear me out. April on Love is Blind season 4 or 5, right? Whichever one they haven't shot yet. On there, because I would imagine, even if it's not a situation that could work out, I feel like it'd be entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Put Alexis on there.
Yes.
Even if she's married, I want Alexis right. to come out and just be the new host of the reunions.
Alexis with Shake. Oh,
hey, you know what? At least Vanessa and Nick didn't yell at it, like get yeah. into a fight with someone.
They kept it pretty clean. I was like, okay.
Yeah, for the most part. Oh my yeah. gosh. All right.
But yeah, Mary, where can people follow you?
Yeah, you can follow me everywhere at Frail Mary. And of course, I'll be tweeting out any of the other podcasts I've been working on. Just today recorded a podcast for the Tomorrow Society with Dan Heaton about the new roller coaster at Busch Gardens Williamsburg near where I live, Pantheon. So if you're interested in theme park stuff, make sure to check that out. I think it won't be dropping for another month or so, but definitely go check out the Tomorrow Society for any amusement park coverage, as well as, of course, CowCast being a thing right now for Riverdale. If you missed my very exciting podcast with myself as a special guest, then that's a thing to haunt your nightmares. So be sure to check that out.
And I don't even watch Riverdale. So I literally finished the whole podcast going to drop my dog off at daycare and then coming back and listen to the whole thing. I was like, oh my gosh, that was gold.
Yes, a lot of fun.
Yes.
What about you, Asia?
Y'all can follow me at Asia Like Asia on Twitter. It's AYSHA Like ASIA. Outside of all of the Love at First Sight content, me and Jason Reed are in the thick of Married at First Sight. So definitely go listen to us there. And then you can also, I joined the Top Chef crew to talk about the newest episode of Top Chef Houston. That was a lot of fun. And then it should be dropping soon. I joined the Dark Walk crew to talk about episode 6 of Bridgerton. And anything else that I'm on, I will be tweeting about it. So if you follow me, you just won't miss it.
Perfect.
All right. Well, thank you all for sticking with us. And until we come back with some potential or with some Love is Blind additional coverage, we will see y'all then. Thank you for sticking with us this season. Bye.
Bye.